Why is he chanting so loud? We cannot sleep at night. The whole purpose of life is to make a lot of money, to become learned in the scriptures. And how will we do it if we're up all night? They're just screaming and howling.
Ah. Lord Vishnu, during the Chaturmasya time, is sleeping.
And they're singing his name so loud they're going to wake him up. And he will become so angry he will destroy the whole universe and they will be at fault. And besides that, we're living in a Mohammedan civilization. This is their kingdom. And any public demonstration of Vedic culture is outlawed. They're chanting so loud. The king of the Yavanas, he's going to send a boats of soldiers to plunder and destroy all of Navadvip. Why? Because of Srivas and his brothers' loud howling of these names. Therefore, they must be stopped. We should tie up this Srivas and punish him. We should take his house and break it into pieces and throw it in the Ganga. The devotees were hearing all these accusations. But Srivas Thakur and his brothers, it only increased their feeling of compassion and increased their enthusiasm to call upon Krishna through the loud chanting of the Holy
Spirit.
Sri Advaitacharya, seeing how the residents of Navadvip were so engrossed, not in suffering, but in material happiness, this was unbearable for him. Because actually, material happiness, in one sense, is worse than suffering. Because we become so addicted to that material happiness, it consumes our consciousness and totally bewilders us by distracting us away from Krishna. So Advaitacharya was crying tears. He vowed, he proclaimed to the other Vaishnavas, that I will bring the Supreme Lord Krishna to this world to spread the cult of pure love. And if I don't, then I will sever the heads of all these demons with my chakra. He was very serious. So Sri Advaita Prabhu, he was reading in the Shastra, Gautamiya Tantra, I believe it was, where there is a beautiful verse that describes how if Krishna is worshipped with water from the Ganges and Tulsi leaves, and his name is chanted very loudly, then he will fulfill the desires of that devotee. So Advaita Prabhu, on the banks of the Ganga, spent his days offering Ganga water and Tulsi leaves. And with tears of compassion flowing from his lotus-like eyes, he was loudly crying out for Krishna to appear. He was chanting so loudly his prayers of compassion that his voice literally penetrated from all the eight coverings of the universal creation, crossed beyond the viraja, the border of material and spiritual existence, entered into the Brahma Jyoti through the Paravyoma, surpassed all the Vaikuntha planets, and his voice could be heard
by Lord Sri Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, crying for him to descend. Sri Advaita Prabhu spent years crying out for the Lord to appear. Meanwhile, in Radhadesh Ekachakra, approximately 12 years before the descent of the Lord, Sri Balaram appeared as Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And he was simply waiting for the Lord's descent. So this was the mood of Sri Navadvipa. Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi gave birth to a very beautiful daughter. But soon after the child was born, she gave up her life. In this way, Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi gave birth to 8 consecutive daughters. But each one of them died soon after taking birth. Of course, this is a very sorrowful condition for a mother and father. We know even the death of one child is very unbearable for a mother and child. But to speak of 8. So they performed very sincere devotional service to their Shalagram Shila of the name Damodar for a child. Now Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi, their desire for a child was not like an ordinary parent, because their hearts were the abodes of the Lord. It was actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead who was awakening this insatiable desire for a child, because their child would be Lord Krishna. At a very auspicious time, they gave birth to a very beautiful son. This child was ornamented with all auspicious qualities. They gave him the name Vishwarup. Now Srila Prabhupada explains in this regard, most people in this world, they worship the Lord when they want something, and then when they get it, then they don't have to worship the Lord so much anymore. But Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi, they were such great devotees. After Vishwarup was born, they increased their loving service to the Damodar Shila in a spirit of gratitude. In the year 1406 of Visakha era, which is equivalent to the year 1485 of our calendar, in the month of Magh, the Supreme Lord entered into the heart of Jagannath Mishra. From the heart of Jagannath Mishra, the Lord transferred himself to the heart of Sachi Mata. Just like at the time of the rising of the moon, the sun's rays illuminates the moon. From the heart of Sachi Mata, the Supreme Lord made his abode within her. Sachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra felt such incredible bliss. Sachi Mata became effulgent.
But ordinary people could not see her effulgence. There was so much joy, so much happiness in their hearts, they could not contain themselves, they could not understand it. Jagannath Mishra told Sachimata, since you have conceived this child, our whole house is like Vaikuntha. There's radiating light everywhere. And when I go out into the streets, without even asking, people give me charity. People are so attracted. They give me paddy, they give me money, they give me so much. And Sachimata said, I'm seeing all kinds of supernatural sights. I see celestial beings praying to the child within our room. I hear beautiful, beautiful music like the Gandharvas. They came to the conclusion that this is not an ordinary child within her womb, but it was a divine being. 13 full months passed, and still she did not give birth. So this raised some concern. Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra approached Nilambar Chakravarti, Sachimata's father, who was a very great pundit and a learned astrologer Brahmin. So he performed his calculations and informed them that this is a very divine being who is within your womb. And he is waiting for the most auspicious possible moment to appear within this world. After 13 months, in the year 1407 Shaka, 1486 by our calendar, in the month of Phalgun, the full moon was rising in the horizon of Nadia. But what is the use of a moon with so many spots on it? Thinking in this way, the Rahu planet covered the moon. It was a full lunar eclipse. The custom is, in order to make everything auspicious and counteract any inauspicious effects from an eclipse, all the Hindus would go to the Ganga to chant the holy names of Lord Hari. There were hundreds and thousands, millions of people loudly crying out the holy names of the Lord. And seeing this intoxicating situation of people chanting and chanting and chanting, even the Muslims became carried away. And all the Muslims were loudly chanting the holy name. Nothing could be heard but the loud chanting of Krishna's holy names. The devotees were so happy. Finally, after so many years of so many prayers, of so many austerities, they're seeing the whole population loudly chanting the holy names. Srivas Thakur and his devotees, they were praying, let this eclipse last forever. It was at that moment, when the world was loudly calling out his holy names, that Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu appeared as the son of Mother Sachi. Under this neem tree at the Yoga Peet,
in Antadvip of Sri Navadvip Nadia.
When the Lord appeared, the entire universal creation became intoxicated, and nobody knew why. The devotees' hearts were just uncontrollably in ecstasy. And every living being in the universe was feeling just incredible bliss. But they didn't understand why. Everyone was so happy. The most auspicious constellations appeared in the sky. The rivers were blooming with lotus flowers. Their water just tasted sweet like nectar. Everything became perfectly auspicious. Advaitacharya and Haridas Thakur, they were in Shantipur at the time. They felt such a surcharge of ecstatic love in their hearts. They just started dancing like madmen and loudly chanting the holy names, and people were looking, understanding what's happening to them. In this way, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to make the whole of creation auspicious while his own holy names were being chanted. When the people saw the beautiful form of this little baby, they were unlimitedly, uncontrollably attracted. When Sachimata saw the beautiful moonlight face of her child, unlimited spiritual motherly affection overwhelmed her heart. So joyous. Chandrasekhar Acharya and Srivas Thakur, they came here to perform the birth rituals for the child. And then Malini, the wife of Srivas and the wife of Chandrasekhar Acharya, who was a sister of Sachidevi, they came to offer beautiful, beautiful offerings to that little child. A few days later, Advaitacharya from Shantipur sent Sita Thakurani, his wife, on a beautiful palanquin to come here. She brought loving gifts of affection to offer the child and to induce auspiciousness for the child's life. When Sita Thakurani, this most exalted personality, first saw that little baby, the thought that came to her heart was, this is Krishna of Gokul, who has appeared with a beautiful golden complexion. She blessed the child with the benediction that he would live long. The Brahmins appear to perform the horoscope of the child. Nilambar Chakravarti, he proclaimed that according to our tradition, it is said that a great king will be born in a Brahmin family in Bengal, Godadesh. I could see that this is that personality. He will be the personification of all auspicious virtues. He will bring religious principles and great joy to the world. This is a divine person. There was a Brahmin, a very pure-hearted devotee, who was in that assembly. He said that according to my calculation, I say with all conviction that this child is Lord Narayan himself. He has come to reestablish the true religious principles. He will preach throughout the universe the Yuga Dharma of the chanting of the holy names. He will spread in all directions the ultimate treasure of pure unalloyed love. This child will bring the ultimate happiness to everyone. He will nourish the whole world with spiritual love. Therefore, his name should be Vishwambhar. When Jagannath Misha heard these calculations, he was overwhelmed with happiness. However, that Brahmin did not speak about the Lord's taking sannyas, because he didn't want to spoil the happiness of everyone. Jagannath Misha, whatever little he had, he was just giving away in charity in order to give benediction to his child. This is the Vedic culture. Materialistic culture, when you want to give something to someone, you buy and give. Yes? But Vedic culture is just the opposite. If you want to give something to someone, you give away in charity to respectable persons, and knowing that their blessings will be upon your child, then you have done something substantial. So Jagannath Misha was giving paddy and cloth, and whatever he didn't have, he was giving away in his mind to the Brahmins, to the Vaishnavas. There was singing, there was dancing, there was musical instruments being played, glorifying the beautiful child of Satchidev. For 1 month, Satchimata remained in her secluded place, as is the tradition, under this neem tree where the Lord was born. The young ladies, seeing his beautiful golden complexion, which had the sweetness of Lord Hari, they gave him the name Gaur Hari. Jagannath Misra, seeing that every limb was resplendent like molten gold, gave him the name Gauranga. Satchimata, knowing that he took birth under a neem tree, and knowing that the bitterness of the neem leaves keeps ghosts and witches away, she gave him the name Nimai. Nilambar Chakravarti Thakur, understanding that he would nourish the whole universe with his love, gave him the name Vishwambhar. The demigods secretly were coming to this little thatched hut where the Lord was residing. And they wanted to play tricks on the devotees. So they would just appear in so many ways in disguise. Some of them appeared like Brahmins just to come to offer gifts. But sometimes the neighboring ladies and parents and Satchimata would see shadows moving around in the house. They were actually demigods in the form of shadows just moving around, and they become so much afraid. Sometimes they would hear these very mysterious sounds. And they were thinking that ghosts or unembodied beings were trying to somehow or other attack the Lord. So in great fear, they would loudly cry out, Narasingadev, 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 praying for Lord Narasingha to protect the child. Sometimes the demigods would be outside, and they would have these mystical forms,
And the people in the house would see these very strange forms looking through the windows. They would cry out, in their parental affection.
Nimai was more dear to their hearts than even their own children. Nimai reenacted this beautiful pastime of Lord Sri Krishna. They loved him. Their only desire was to see him happy. Their only sorrow in life was his distress. Nimai would cry. And when he would cry, it was a pain worse than death to the neighboring ladies and the relatives. And he would keep crying. They would offer him milk. They would offer him toys. They would offer him everything. And whatever they offered, he just cried louder and louder and more intensified until finally someone just went, Hari! And he smiled. Then they understood the secret. That when the Lord would cry, the only thing that would pacify him is when they would chant the holy names. So he would regularly cry. And they would all gather around and clap their hands and loudly chant the holy names. Of Sachi Devi, day and night, there was the continuous chanting of the holy names. And when the devotees would chant, Nimai, so happy, he would smile upon them. And what was that smile? Such a beaming, nectar. Such a beaming ocean of nectar would emanate from his smile that it would just drown all the ladies in ecstatic love. After 4 months, when he was just a little, actually after 1 month, Sachimacha went with her friends to take her bath in the Bhagirathi. And then entered again into Jagannath Mishra's house. When the child was just 4-month-old infant, when Sachi, 4-month infant, he was hardly moving. When no one was in the room, somehow or other he miraculously just broke everything in the house. And then he laid down pretending to sleep. And when Sachimata came in, there was no one home except this little helpless baby, and everything's broken up and scattered around. There's rice and dal on the walls, and there's oils everywhere, and the pots are broken. She was completely bewildered. She came to the conclusion. She told her friends that a ghost must have come to harm our Nimai. But because our Nimai is so pious, Krishna protected him. And the ghost was so angry that he couldn't affect our child that he took revenge by breaking everything in the house. And as she was explaining this to the ladies, Nimai was smiling. Then came the time of the ritual of the Annaprashna, yes? The first grain ceremony, where Nimai was giving his first grains of prasad. At that time, they performed the ceremony of evaluating the child's inner tendencies. They put in a row different piles of objects. There was jewels and gold coins, and there was other kinds of food grains. There was weapons, and so many things like this. Cloth, and there was a Srimad Bhagavatam to see whether the child's propensity is to be a Vaishya or a Kshatriya. And the little baby, who was just learning to crawl, Jagannath Mishra said, "Nimai, whatever attracts your heart, please, now come." And little Nimai didn't even look in any other direction. He just crawled directly and embraced the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah! The devotees were very happy. He will be a great scholar. He will be a great pundit. He will be a proponent of the essence of all religious principles. It was a great celebration to honor Nimai's embracing of the Srimad Bhagavatam. When he was still just crawling, one day, a gigantic serpent somehow or other came through the fence of the compound of Jagannath Mishra's home. And little Nimai was crawling around, and he grabbed the tail of the serpent. Feeling the touch of Nimai's lotus hand, the serpent coiled his body in circles. And then Nimai laid on top of those coils. Smiling. When Sachi Mata and the ladies saw Nimai with this beautiful smile on his face, laying on top of this gigantic, apparently venomous serpent, they were full of distress. Their distress knew no bounds. They were weeping, they were crying, they were falling to the ground, rolling. They didn't know what to do. They felt utterly hopeless. In order to save the child from death of the serpent, they were loudly crying out, "Garuda! Garuda!
Garuda! Garuda!"
For a long time, the child was laid there. And they were screaming out Garuda's name, screaming out to Lord Narayan. This child was more dear to them than their own life. The serpent, seeing that he was creating such a commotion, slithered away. Actually, this serpent was Anantashesha, who came according to the will of the Lord to offer this service. As soon as the serpent slithered away, the neighboring ladies grabbed Nimai and put him on their lap and started chanting all kinds of mantras for protection. And meanwhile, Nimai kept trying to get away and grab the serpent again. They kept bringing him back, and he kept running toward the serpent, and they brought him back. It is now Archie. Should we celebrate the Archie? Should we end here? So you could all go before the deity, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and celebrate the Archie, and after Archie is concluded, we will continue. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. नमो महाबरन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरतिशे नमः पंचतत्वत्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं तथावतारं भक्तक्यं वाणी भक्तशक्तिकं श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे One who sincerely hears this narration of Lord Gauranga and the serpent will never be bitten by the serpent of birth and death. The prominent pastime of Lord Chaitanya's Balila was how he induced everyone around him to sing the names of Krishna. When he was just getting strength in his legs, hardly able to even walk, he would dance on the laps of the ladies as they clapped their hands and chanted the holy names. When little Nimai began to walk, something astonishing took place. One time Jagannath Mishra asked little Nimai to go into the house and bring him his book. While he was in the house, they heard the tinkling of ankle bells. But this was mysterious because Nimai was not wearing ankle bells. What could that be? So Nimai came running out and gave his father the book. And Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra went into the house to see what was that sound. And they saw all over the floor and even on the walls there were footprints. And each one of the footprints had the symbols of the Supreme Personality of Godhead imprinted upon them. Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi came to the conclusion that their family Shalagram Srila Damodar must be having special pastimes in their house. So in order to reciprocate, they made a very special preparation of sweet rice to offer to the deity. And seeing this, Nimai very happily smiled. As the ladies would clap their hands and sing, Nimai would dance. In fact, he was just like a dancing puppet on their laps. They would sing and he would smile and gaze upon them. Just streams of nectar would come out of his glance and drown them as he would dance and to their chanting of the holy names. We explained yesterday how to reciprocate with the loving offerings of his devotees. Nimai would run out to the streets and he would beg some bananas, some sandesh, coconuts. He was so charming that anything he asked for, people just gave him. Even strangers who never saw him before, they just loved him. They wanted to please him. They would give him anything. So then he would come in with his hands full of various sweetmeats and fruits and personally distribute them to all the ladies who were pleasing him by chanting the holy name. Sachimata would decorate Nimai with very nice golden ornaments. One day when Nimai was playing alone, not far from the house, some thieves happened to see these gold ornaments. This is like a feast for thieves. A helpless little child all alone with golden ornaments. So they decided to kidnap him, to rob him. So they said, there was people around. So in order to fool all the people, they pretended to be his relatives and friends. They said, oh son, you are lost. We will bring you home. Come, we will take you home. And they picked up the child and started feeding him sandesh. They placed little Nimai on their shoulders. And as they were going through the crowds of Navadvip, they kept saying, we're almost home, my boy. We're almost home. We're coming home. And just to keep him pacified, they kept giving him more sandesh to eat. And he was very happily taking a nice ride eating sandesh. Meanwhile, here at the yoga pit, the family was looking everywhere for Nimai. He was nowhere to be seen. They were searching and searching and searching. There was no trace. So their hearts were plundered with grief. Such emotional agony. Nimai is gone. After exhausting all possibilities of where to look, they were just weeping and crying. Their heads were in their hands, just praying to Lord Narayan to save their child. It was a pitiful scene. Meanwhile, the thieves were moving toward their hideout. But by the mystic power of Nimai, he caused the thieves to go in a big circle. And thinking they had come to their hideout, they came right back to his house. They actually thought that it was their hideout. So they took Nimai off their shoulder and said, we have come. And Nimai just ran right inside and jumped right into the arms of Jagannath Misha and Sachi Devi. And oh, they just exploded with relief and happiness that their son had returned. And they were wondering, you know, where did you go? And somebody said, we just saw two men who brought him back home. So they asked Nimai, please tell us, where have you been today? He said, I was out in the streets and I got lost. And two nice men came and brought me back home. So we should reward them. They got a nice, very expensive ceremonial turban to offer these men for their good deed. But what happened is when the child ran inside and everybody was applauding his return, the thieves were thinking, let us escape before we get caught. So they ran away. And thus they could not be found. But these thieves, they attained the perfection of their lives. Because even unknowingly, they had the Supreme Lord riding on their shoulders. They gave him a nice ride too. He enjoyed a lot. He got to see the sights of Navadvip. And they were feeding him nice sandesh. So because they made Nimai very happy, they achieved the benediction of the perfection of life. Vrindavan Das Thakur tells that one who faithfully hears this story
will receive the benediction of firm faith and devotional service. Nimai began to perform the leelas of Krishna of Gokul by going to all the residents of Navadvipa's house in this neighborhood and causing great commotion. He would secretly go into their houses and break their pots and steal their milk, steal their butter, steal their ghee. If he couldn't find anything, if he couldn't find what he was looking for, he would just break everything in sight. Or sometimes he would pinch their babies and make them cry. And he was very quick. They would see him, and it was very, very difficult to catch him. But if he was apprehended, then he would become very humble. And with folded palms, he would pray to his captors. He would say, "Please let me go. Please do not tell my mother, Sachi. If you just do this for me, I promise I will never come back and steal from you again." But actually, whoever's house he went into to perform these leelas, he brought the most immense joy that those people ever experienced in their entire lives. Because whatever Nimai did was all attractive. It was only after millions and millions of births of pious activities and devotional credits that were such neighbors of Navadvipa bestowed the benediction that the Supreme Personality of Godhead would enter their house to perform his eternal pastimes. One day, Nimai, with his very soft lotus-like hand, hit his mother. And Sachimata, just to play nice game with Nimai, she falsely pretended to faint. And Nimai, who was very mischievous, when he saw that he has done this to his mother, his heart was very much saddened. He began to cry. And some of the neighboring ladies, they were seeing this game very nicely. And they said, "Nimai, if you want to bring your mother back to consciousness, you should bring her some coconuts." So Nimai, who was crying in desperation, he ran outside and begged some coconuts and brought them back in. And the neighboring ladies were so happy. "Very good, very good." And then Sachimata came back to consciousness. And she smiled and embraced her little son. One day, a pilgrim Brahmin came to the house of Jagannath Mishra. This Brahmin was a very pure-hearted devotee of Bal Gopal. Around his neck, he had a Shalagram Shila and a deity of Bal Gopal, who he worshipped with great spontaneous love. After going to all the various holy places throughout the land, he came to Navadvipa. And as a simple beggar, he approached the house of Jagannath Mishra. When Sri Jagannath Mishra saw the devotional countenance, the peaceful mannerisms and the effulgence of this Brahmin, he understood that he was a great soul. He invited him into his house and offered him a special seat. He asked the Brahmin, "Where are you from?" The Brahmin said, "I have no home. I simply wander due to my uncontrolled mind." And Jagannath Mishra replied that you wander throughout the world just to purify wherever you go. And today, my home has become an abode
of good fortune because you have come to bless us. Wherever the lotus feet of such a pure devotee is, that place is holy. Now please, tell us what you would like and we will arrange for you to cook. The Brahmin said, actually, I travel generally, I eat only fruits and roots. But Jagannath Mishra said, but now you are our guest. We have cleaned the whole kitchen and we have brought very good preparation. Now you cook, offer it to Bal Gopal and eat nice feast. Because this Brahmin would only eat what he cooked with his own hands for his deities. So he went in the kitchen and cooked a nice feast. And then he placed it before Thakurji, Bal Gopal, and offered beautiful prayers. As he was offering his prayers, he looked up, and there was little Nimai, taking handful after handful of rice, putting it in his own mouth. Hi, hi! The Brahmin exclaimed, the child has spoiled my offering. The people came running in great alarm. Jagannath Mishra picked up a stick and ran toward Nimai. And Nimai fled in fear. Meanwhile, the Brahmin, he grabbed onto Jagannath Mishra and said, what are you doing? And Jagannath Mishra said, I must teach my child. He can't make a fool out of me like this. He said, no, no, he's only a child. He doesn't know any better. It is Bal Gopal's desire that I just eat some fruits and roots today. I'm not meant to eat rice. Just give me some fruits and roots. Jagannath Mishra and all the people of the house prayed again and again and again. They were on their hands and knees begging, please cook again. So the Brahmin, if that is what you want me to do, all right. So everyone was very happy. And they cleaned the whole kitchen and brought a whole new supply of bhoga. And he cooked a nice feast. Meanwhile, Jagannath Mishra sent Nimai to some neighbors' houses. And told the ladies, make sure you stay with him at all times. So they were playing with Nimai, and Nimai was playing with them. They were having such nice, happy time. And they were telling jokes. They said, Nimai, you are a Brahmin, and this beggar, we don't know what his caste is. If you eat food that is cooked from people who you don't know, you will lose your caste. And Nimai, with a smile on his face, he said, no, no. He said, I am a cowherd boy. And cowherd boys always want foods offered by Brahmins. And they laughed. They could not understand that he was speaking the absolute truth. So in this way, he was roaming around and playing with them and glancing upon them and smiling upon them in such a hypnotic way that they became completely bewildered. And without even knowing, he slipped away. Just at the time when the Brahmin was making his offering. The bhoga was placed before Bal Gopal. And he was in meditation, praying that Bal Gopal will accept this offering. He was chanting the mantras and he looked up and there was little Nimai glancing upon him with a big smile with a handful of rice in his mouth. Hi, hi!
Hi, hi!
The child has again spoiled my offering. The family came running to the scene and Jagannath Mishra was fuming with anger.
He had a stick in his hand and he ran toward Nimai. And Nimai ran in the room and closed the door. And the Brahmin was, you cannot do this. I will curse you if you hit this child. He doesn't know. He's too young. He doesn't know what is good. He doesn't know what it is bad. It is not this child's fault. It is Bhagopal. He doesn't want me to eat rice today. I'm very happy. Just bring me some fruits and roots. I travel everywhere. I only get fruits and roots. Only on rare occasions do I get rice. But it is the destiny of my life today that I am not meant to eat such nice foods. What God writes in one's destiny cannot be changed by any human endeavor. So just bring me some fruits and roots. Jagannath Mishra said, we have offended you. The only possible way we can atone for this offense is if you cook again. He said, it's too late to cook again. It's the middle of the night. I will not cook again. So everyone was just holding their heads in their hands in great suffering. At that moment, Vishwaroop entered into the room. Vishwaroop was the embodiment of beauty. All good qualities emanating from his beautiful form. When the Brahmin saw Vishwaroop, he stared upon him, unblinking. He said, whose son is this? This is the son of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi. He said, what fortunate parents can have a child like this? Vishwaroop, who was a very mine of good qualities, very humbly prostrated himself at the Brahmin's lotus feet. And then he got up with folded hands and offered prayers to the Brahmin. So we are so fortunate that you have come to our home. You are a pure-hearted devotee of the Lord. Wherever you go, you make everyone fortunate. But at the same time, we are so unfortunate because you have not eaten when you were in our house. We have made aparad, offense to you. The only way we can atone for our offense is if you cook again. The Brahmin, he said, 3/4 of the night have already passed. It's too late to cook again. And Vishwaroop fell at his feet and with folded palms begged. He said, it's not too late to cook again. Please, please, cook. He melted the Brahmin's heart. How could anyone refuse the request of Vishwaroop? The Brahmin said, all right, I will cook again. Everyone celebrated. They cleaned the place in the kitchen, brought a whole new supply of bhoga. He began cooking. Now it's late at night. Nimai was in the room. Jagannath Mishra bolted the door with locks from the outside. And the ladies, they told Jagannath Mishra, there is no harm. Besides the doors being bolted, the child is sound asleep. He does not know anything anymore. The Brahmin completed his cooking.